I want to take that as my text this morning from Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. If you're making use of the Pew Bible, you can find that text on page 1041. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, and beginning at verse 11. And this morning I want to talk about gratitude and obedience. Gratitude and obedience. Indeed, last week we talked about faith and obedience, and this morning we're talking about gratitude and obedience, and seemingly they are related. Gratitude and obedience. Indeed, as we see in our text, obedience to God leads to blessing, and blessing leads to gratitude, at least in most cases, as we've read in our text. Indeed, notice again verse 1, or I should say verse 11. And on the way to Jerusalem, he, Jesus, was passing along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And so we are told by Luke that Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem. Indeed, Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem, and this will be his last trip there. In fact, we read this about this in several places in this particular section of Luke. For instance, in chapter 18, the chapter that's just to come, and beginning at verse 33, and we read, and taking the 12, that's his 12 disciples, he said to them, "See, we're going up to Jerusalem. And everything that is written about me, the Son of Man, by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise." And so Luke says that on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus is passing along between Samaria and Galilee. Galilee's in the far north, Samaria's south of there, and Judea is even further south where Jerusalem is, and so he's making this southern trip. And Luke says in verse 12, "And as Jesus entered into a village," or as he was entering, it's a present tense participle, as he was in this sort of action there, as Jesus is entering into the village, he's met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. And so as he's entering, these lepers are outside of the village. As Jesus is making his way in and entering into it. In the Greek, it's a little bit more specific with regards to the lepers. It literally says 10 leprous men. And Luke says that they stood at a distance. Well, that's, of course, just in keeping with what the law of Moses required. In fact, in chapters 13 and 14 of Leviticus deal with lepers and leprosy and what's to be done in so many different ways relative to that. But in Leviticus chapter 13, and beginning at verse 45, we read, "And the leprous person who has this disease," and leprous, I mean, we think of leprosy now almost exclusively as Hansen's disease, but leprosy in the ancient times were pretty much any kind of skin disease that was such that people would notice it and think that perhaps you have a problem if you look like this. But we're told in Leviticus 13, "The leprous person who has this disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean! Unclean!' And he shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean, and he shall live alone, and his dwelling shall be outside the camp." Our Numbers chapter 5 and verse 2, "Command the people of Israel that they put out of the camp everyone who is leprous." This made me think of something that Philip Yancey wrote in his book, The Jesus I Never Knew, quoting Mother Teresa. She said, "We have drugs for people with diseases like leprosy, but these drugs do not treat the main problem. the disease of being unwanted. And so Luke says, and as Jesus entered a village, he was met by 10 leopards who stood at a distance. And Luke continues in verse 13, and they lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, Lord, have mercy on us. Remind me of something that Fleming Rutledge wrote in her magnum opus, The Crucifixion. She wrote, quote, trying to understand someone else's predicament lies at the very heart of what it means to be a Christian. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Be compassionate. Indeed, these lepers are in a predicament. They're cut off from their families, cut off from the community. They can't work in the community, and so they can't look after themselves properly. People are afraid of them. People wonder, what did they do? How did they disobey? What evil things lurk in their hearts that they should find themselves in such a state? And so they're in a predicament, and what hope do they have ever of moving on from this? But then here comes Jesus, whose fame, of course, precedes him. Indeed, because of Jesus, we read in Luke chapter 7, this same Gospel of Luke, the blind are receiving their sight, and the lame walk, and lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And this was going out all over. And so whenever people heard that Jesus was nearby, they'd get their loved ones and who were had these problems, and they would scurry off as quickly as they could to bring them to Jesus so that he could deal with them. Because word was that he's the Messiah, and these are the sorts of things that Messiah would remedy, and he was remedying them. And so Luke says in verse 12, and as Jesus entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers and who stood at a distance, and they lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Verse 14, and Luke says, and when Jesus saw them, I got the most delightful note this last week from my daughter and my son-in-law. They've been married now 2 years this last summer. I guess tomorrow, the 12th, this was postmarked the 7th of October, but Victoria's is her handwriting, and Elijah then writes in his handwriting at the end there, but she's dated it the 12th of October. That's tomorrow. I guess that's Clergy Appreciation Day. I didn't even know that. And so my daughter writes, Da, happy Clergy Appreciation Day. Thank you for ultimately answering the call to ministry and remaining faithful to your service to the Lord for decades. And then this was the part, and I've probably read this note about 7 or 8 times, but this was the part that really meant the most to me. She said, we love you and we see you. And Luke says, and when Jesus saw them, no one else saw them, nobody else wanted to see them. But he saw them. And when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go show yourself. Remember, you said, well, he sure shouts a lot. That's what they were doing. They were standing away from each other at a distance. They said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest. Indeed, the priests, Leviticus, now we're back in Leviticus. Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, the priests were tasked with examining lepers and declaring them clean if they were restored to good health and directing them on the proper sacrifice to be made to God following their cleansing. And then after all of that, after being examined and being declared clean and offering up their sacrifice, then that person would be received back into the community with a bill of good health. And so Luke says in verse 14, and when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And then Luke says, and as they went, they were cleansed. Now this is really interesting, right? Because they might have balked. Indeed, no one goes to be examined by the priest until after there's a clear sign of recovery. But Jesus tells them to go even while they're still leprous. And they do it. They obey him. And Luke says, and as they went, as they obeyed him, which might have been contrary to logic, seemingly so, as they obeyed him, as they did what he told them to do, they received what they were asking for. They were cleansed. Indeed, I want to encourage you, just do it. Whenever Jesus tells you to do something, just do it. Indeed, if you do, you won't be sorry. And I can't think of a way how you can lose. And so that's obedience. But then here comes gratitude. Indeed, notice verse 15, and then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, I don't know, maybe he felt something change within him that made him look down at those hands. Those gnarled hands of it. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and praising God. Hallelujah! Praise to Yahweh God! Hallelujah! 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 We have no idea how long he was in this condition and the extent and the depths of his suffering. But he turned back praising God with a loud voice. Verse 16, and he fell on his face, prostrate at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now notice that this man hadn't received anything more than the others did. They all received the same thing. But as one might say, seemingly, he appreciated it more. And perhaps one might even say that he enjoyed it more and he was impacted by it more. Indeed, we might say that they all got what they wanted, but this man got more than what he wanted because he was grateful. As someone has written, gratitude is the fruit that makes everything taste sweet. Or as someone else has written, and taking it from looking at it from a slightly different angle, the absence of gratitude, or I should say, in the absence of gratitude, what I have is never enough. That's the power of gratitude. And so Luke says, verse 15, and then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on Jesus's on his feet at Jesus's feet, giving thanks. And then Luke adds, and he was a Samaritan. Now this would seem to suggest that the others, at least some of the others, were Jews. Like Jesus was a Jew and his disciples were Jews, and the majority of those who followed Jesus in Palestine at the time were Jews. And under normal circumstances, Jews and Samaritans didn't associate with one another. They were in an ongoing state of hostility with one another. They both looked down on each other and so on. But interestingly enough, and maybe you know this even experientially, it's maybe some part and time in your life when you're down and out, as all these lepers were, one becomes a little less discriminating. Indeed, these lepers had each other because they had no one else. And in a circumstance like that, being Jewish or Samaritan didn't really matter much anymore. And so Luke says in verse 15, and then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Luke says he was a Samaritan. In verse 17, Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed?" I mean, I didn't go to MIT, but I can count to 10. "Were not 10 cleansed, and where are the 9? Verse 18, "Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Except this one who's different from us? This one that most think to be less than us? This one who is not only obedient, but grateful as well? Which ought perhaps to make us stop and check our default setting when it comes to the way we think about and treat others who we consider to be different from us. And so Jesus asked, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where's the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner, this Samaritan?" And he said to the man, "Rise up and go. Your faith has made you well." And so it's the person that perhaps we least expect, the one we count out, the one we dismiss, the one we assume to be something less than ourselves, that ends up being not only obedient, but grateful too. And God is pleased, even if we're not, even if we should be. Indeed, prejudice is a powerful thing, and equally an ungodly thing. Indeed, over and over in the Bible, we're told that God is no respecter of persons. But God is a respecter of virtue. And truth be told, sometimes the person we think is less than we are has more than we do. Which means perhaps instead of next time judging such a person, we should simply follow their good example. Amen. Amen. Gratitude and obedience. Let us pray. We may not all be in the same boat, but we're all in the same storm. And we all suffer, Lord, from a fallen humanity, a humanity in need of redemption. We would pray, Lord, even for our own soul's health, that you would assist us, Lord, to give us an appetite for obedience. It's the natural thing to do when you're the creator God and we're the creature. You're the redeemer, we're the redeemed. You're the sustainer, we're the sustained. You're God and we are not. And so you direct us, and you know what's best for us. And so you never tell us to do anything that would be to our harm. And in fact, it's always to our benefit in one way or another. And sometimes the process is such that that might not be immediately clear, but it's true nonetheless. And so, Lord, help us to be obedient and help us to be grateful. Grateful. Because it's not only the right thing to do, it's the good thing to do. And not just good before you, but good for us and our souls. And so help us to follow the example of this man that many people would have just dismissed. And yet you said to him, "And now rise and go, your faith has made you whole." Go and be faithful some more until we meet again. Help us, Lord, to be that man, the foreigner, the Samaritan, with whom you're well pleased. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.